Wendy, Ryan Burrow has described the forecast as, and I quote, messy. So be ready for
messy,
it.
It's going to be messy, messy, messy.
I refuse to accept this.
Oh.
It's March, what, 5th?
Yep.
I don't want no more snow.
You're done with the snow.
Oh, come on. We've had Easters with snow. We've had Mother's Days that have been more miserable, right?
Last Memorial year, 4th days. Of July, 6 inches of snow. No one remembers it. I remember it. What a messy 4th of July that was, Ryan.
I forgot how it ruined my picnic.
Yes. They had to delay the fireworks because it was so snowy.
I know that we get snow in March.
Sure.
April showers. A couple years, we had April snow showers. I get that.
Yeah.
But I thought this was supposed to be a real mild winter this year.
In like a lion. In like a lion. Maybe out like a lamb. We'll see.
Do they still tell kids that? Because we had to memorize that. That was a thing we had to memorize in school.
What, 8 words? How hard was that?
We came from a school of kids with short memories, Wendy, so it wasn't as easy to like to believe. But, yeah, that was a thing. It was March was in like a lion and out like a lamb. And then at some point, somebody went, no, it's not really.
Lamb of God, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it was a Catholic school, so they would throw that in there for fun, sure. Yeah. All right, shall we discuss last night's Academy Awards, the 90th, you know?
Yes.
The 90th Academy Awards, Jimmy Kimmel hosted, I thought did a very nice job.
I love that guy.
All things considered, it was it's difficult because of the climate right now in Hollywood, so you have to go in and you have to pay some reference to it and respect to it, but at the same time, your job is to make the evening enjoyable and fun, and I think he did that, didn't he?
He did a great job. He always does a great job. He always looks sleepy to me, though, doesn't he?
Sleepy Jimmy Kimmel?
Doesn't he?
Maybe a little bit.
He always looks sleepy.
Like he's not getting enough rest?
Yeah,
you think?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Oh, all right.
His eyes look sleepy to me.
Well, it's, you know, it's hard to host a show on the network.
I
noticed.
He does
that every night. There were times where he would host the late night show on ABC and then fly over and do the Regis and Kelly show or Kelly and Michael or whatever they called it at the time on the same nights. Like he would do his show and then fly in the middle of the night across the country, do that show, and then fly back.
Why?
I guess just to prove you can do it. I don't know. I was amazed that he could do it, but he did it and he did it well. He's durable.
You'd think in this day and age you could do it live via satellite somewhere.
Yeah.
And I guess it's different being there.
You
do the show
studio.
From satellite sometimes at home.
Right. I'm in Tempe, Arizona right now, but it seems like I'm here, doesn't it?
At Camelback Hologram. Ranch. Is that new, by the way, that Camelback Ranch? Why don't I recall? I always remember Gobbler's Knob, and that's on.
We know why. You don't have to tell us why. Camelback Lodge sounds like the place
Ranch.
They would make. Yeah, Camelback Ranch sounds like a place they'd make dressing to me. Salad dressing.
Yeah, but I don't recall it ever being there
Might
before.
Be new. Could be new.
All
Could
right.
be new. All right, so back to the show. You watched the whole thing, I'm hoping.
Yes.
Didn't you? What stood out? What were the highlights for you?
Well, I was looking at fashion, and I couldn't believe Emma Stone didn't wear a dress.
She wore something you'd wear to a
cocktail. Not even a cocktail party.
Like if you were, if you had a job on the, like if you were going in to discuss maybe getting a job.
Except
that,
you know, it was down to her navel, so I don't think you'd wear that to a job interview. And
I noticed
you'd
get the job.
That's what I noticed last night. Was there was a lot of like really wide low V's on many many dresses.
Yeah.
They used a lot of sticky tape.
Oh, there was
because it was.
It would have been a good time to invest in sticky tape just prior to last night's broadcast. You'd be a millionaire today if you had just bought a couple of shares of sticky tape.
Yes,
you would have been fine. So from a fashion standpoint, who I shouldn't say jumped out because of what you just said. So we don't want anyone jumping out. We sure want a peaceful evening, but whose attire did you applaud and say now that's the way Hollywood should dress?
I don't know. Tiffany Haddish, I thought was really funny wearing that same dress that came up on Saturday Night Live, that white dress.
She said on SNL she's going to get her mileage out
right.
of it. She wears it everywhere she goes.
Although I didn't realize that till this morning and I heard Justin Kaufman talking about it. I really didn't.
I kept saying to myself, if they do let her present on the show, it'd be funny if she wore that dress.
She should have reminded us, don't you think?
Maybe. I thought it was like a bonus for people who put it all together in their heads. So I went, oh my God, she went through with it. She's wearing that dress.
She was great with Maya Rudolph. I'd like to see those two do something on a regular basis.
Yeah.
No one stands out looking. My usual go-to girl that I'm in love with.
Who's this?
Helen Mirren.
She's great.
Oh, my God.
She's just great.
Jane
Fonda.
She has
a great sense of humor about herself. A lot of women of that stature would say, no, I'm not doing your jet ski joke. That's fine, but it's not for me. I have too much gravitas. I don't have time to be on a jet ski. No, she pulled it off beautifully.
Oh, and at the end, riding out, I mean, I just adore her. She's got a magnificent figure.
Yeah.
She's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Eva Marie Saint looked very good, and she's, what, 93 years old?
Eva Marie Saint was on some show. You know, they do this movie classic show where they show you old movies, and then sometimes if any of the stars are still with us, they'll put them on and they'll talk about the behind the scenes stuff. So I saw her do one with Nick Clooney, George Clooney's dad, about a year ago, and I fell in love with her. Like, oh my God, this woman is perfect. You know, a great sense of humor, as sharp as a tack. Even though she's up in her 90s, she just proves that doesn't matter. If I'm sharp, I'm sharp.
Yep.
Told great stories, had a beautiful laugh, a great smile. She's great. Eva Marie Saint is great.
She was absolutely fantastic. Jane Fonda looked okay, but I got to tell you something. Faye Dunaway she looks great. She does not look like Faye Dunaway at all. Faye Dunaway had such a unique look to her.
Right.
And it's not unique anymore.
Right. She's been.
I didn't look a thing like her.
Possibly she may have had some work done.
I think she and Warren Beatty did it together on the way there.
And by did it together, you mean work done, of course.
Yes.
Of course. It
doesn't look like her.
Does not look like Faye Dunaway
anymore.
That's
all I wanted to know.
That's kind of rough. On the well put together, fashionable side, I've always been a fan of Jennifer Garner's. I think she's just beautiful anyway. But she looked great. It was a color that was kind of in between azure blue and purple. I have paint chips at the house, Wendy. I know what colors are. So she comes out in this, and she looks stunning. She's always pretty, you know, but she just looks so pretty. And then I don't know if you've seen online, people are questioning, and I thought about this a little bit too. There was a moment in the show where she's applauding for something, and I don't know what it was, but they show her applauding, and then she just stops applauding and looks startled. So there's a lot of people online trying to figure out
what
she realized at that very second. Because she just stops very abruptly. She's applauding like mad, and then just stops
that.
And goes, like, did I lock the front door? You know, like that kind of
I unplugged my curling
iron?
Yeah,
it was that kind of a look.
Do we know what it
was? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's one of the many mysteries from last night's broadcast.
She looked very pretty, but she looked very...
What? You can't say sleepy. You already gave that one to Jimmy Kimmel.
She looked like she had a lot of work done.
Oh,
and again,
really?
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just making an observation.
Yeah.
She looked different to me, too.
Well, I don't know if she's had... I mean, it's Hollywood, so I guess everyone's had something done. Something's been moved. They use those clips, you know? You ever have a bag of Doritos and you don't finish the whole bag?
The chip clips.
Yeah. I bet, like, if they showed all the stars from behind, you'd see a lot of those chip clips behind them.
With their dress, with
right,
their neck.
Their faces. Everything. It'd be all chip clips if they did that angle. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then more discussion about last night's Academy Awards. Did you see them? What'd you think? We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Last night was the 90th annual Academy Awards hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. No major surprises. I guess the biggest surprise was that The Shape of Water won for Best Movie of the Year, Best Film of the Year, Best Picture of the Year.
Viola Davis is striking.
Yes, she is.
Can
yes,
I just tell
is.
You? Yes, I think it was the Golden Globes. She had this nice fro that looked pretty kick-ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then she looked really super beautiful last night, although she slipped on the stage. She walked out, and I thought her feet were sore.
She was walking very slowly.
Like you walk on ice in high heels. That's
right.
What it looked like. Like strippers walk out there on the stage.
I guess so. I would take that moment to walk very slowly, only because it would occur to me, I'm giving out an award at the Academy Awards. I'm going to milk this for every second I could. It would take me an hour and a half to get from point A to point B.
You'd be like the old man, Tim Conway.
Yeah, I would take that kind of time. I would do that. Do you think it's strange that Kobe Bryant has now won as many Academy Awards as Martin Scorsese? Because I do.
Last night when that happened, Jimmy Mack says to me, I never thought in a million years I would say there's the Academy Award winning Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant, Wendy, has won more Academy Awards now than Brad Pitt, Glenn Close, Amy Adams, Ian McKellen, Ralph Fiennes, Samuel Jackson, Ed Harris, Tom Cruise, Sigourney Weaver, Kenneth Branagh, Johnny Depp, and Edward Norton all put together.
I am shocked.
I know.
Oh, that is crazy.
Yeah. Now, here's what I noticed about the audience yesterday that I've never noticed before.
Yeah, you teased this.
And it's possible that I just somehow didn't notice it, but I don't think so, because I've watched these awards very, very closely from the time I was a child until now when I'm a slightly older child. Usually, children are not allowed at the Academy Awards.
Yes.
There's no sign of a kid anywhere. And as a matter of fact, to prove it, a lot of times you'll have a winner say, and Jason and Deborah, if you're watching at home, mommy's on her way, go to bed. And everybody laughs, except me, because I go, oh, I've heard that before.
Sterling K. Brown did that at the Golden Globes, and that was the... I mean, I guess I've heard it sort of before, but yeah. He did it most memorably.
Oh, did he? All right, good.
In my opinion. But yeah, and people were also, I thought, slamming the Academy if they won, because they were saying, and my family, that's way
right
up there.
I got three of those,
yep,
explaining that the family's in the rafters. And then somebody said, I want to thank my mom, who's up there somewhere. And I didn't know if that meant she had died or if she was just seated way up in the rafters, because he said she's up there somewhere, and he just kind of referenced the fact that she's up there. And I just go, oh, that's so sad. Or is it? Maybe she's just there really high up.
That's a good point.
That would be okay then.
Mike wants to talk about the awards show last night. You watched the Academy Awards, Mike. What'd you think?
I thought it was boring for being the 90th year. It was so predictable, because you could really pick the winners from the previous, you know, award show. You knew that Allison Janney was going to win. You knew that Sam Rockwell was going to win. The only thing I was surprised about was Best Picture, because I that's not my thing. But then I wanted to touch on your point, Wendy, about where you talked about the women with their makeup. A lot of the women were airbrushed. You know, they do that now with the airbrushing. I'm in the biz, so I know that kind of look that they do. So give them that glow. And then I want to know, you like Maya Rudolph, but what in the heck was she wearing last night? She looked like she belonged to a cult.
Yeah, did we see her in the audience at one point? Because she's married to a director.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was.
She looked beautiful.
Nicole Kidman's dress was ugly.
I don't remember Nicole Kidman's, but Maya Rudolph's looked like a caftan.
Yeah.
It did.
Right.
Yeah.
They're coming back. Did. The caftans are coming back.
And I do like what you said of Viola Davis, but that dress, it did look like a stripper's dress. I mean, she's a wonderful at that, but hot pink at an award show, no.
I thought that stood out, and there were a lot of people wearing yellow, and they say yellow doesn't look good on anybody. Everyone who wore yellow looked pretty good in it.
Right.
And I think Jimmy Kimmel did a great job, but I thought there would be more surprises. You know, I remember when they had like the 50th, when they brought out all the older award winners, and they had them on stage, you know, like Elizabeth Taylor, you know, people who won Oscars through there. And I thought, okay, 90th year, you're going to do something. And I thought going to the movie theater was, it was okay.
That was funny for a little while.
Well, it was a version of what they did last year when they brought the people who were on a tour into the Academy. It was the reverse side of that.
And it was good.
Yeah. It would have been nice if they would have had people from, you know, that actually had a bank of seats where they could sit there and meet the, have some like on stage or something.
Oh, maybe.
Where they could be there.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate your comments. Wouldn't you
Mad
if you were at the movie and all of a sudden they stopped a movie? Because I was thinking of that. And then
trying to watch a movie. I don't need Margot Robbie giving me a hot dog. What's with this? I would have been furious.
It got crazy town in there. And then there's no way they got back to the movie.
Right. It would have been difficult.
Yeah. They were all... And they're throwing stuff. It turned into a frat party in there.
To answer Mike's question, the last several years, because the Golden Globes and the SAG Awards precede this, and it's almost the same exact people voting for those categories, you kind of have some inclination. Well, if they liked Sam Rockwell in this role before, they're probably going to like him again. You know, it would take a lot to change the voters' minds, you know? So you almost always do know. There's usually a surprise or two. There really wasn't yesterday. You know, the four people that won for a supporting actor, supporting actress, actor and actress were kind of all easily predictable, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
I did wonder who Allison Janney thanked at the very end, because she said, you know, this is for Hal. You're always in my heart. Her brother took his own life February 14th, 2011, after a battle with addiction and depression.
Oh, that's so sad.
And she dedicated this award to her younger brother, Hal, which she was devastated by when that happened. So I thought that was really nice. I had to look that up. And she looked amazing. She is just playing Tanya's mother, and then looking at her in real life, she's just beautiful. Yeah. And this was her first award?
Her first Academy Award. She's won some Emmys for The West Wing.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
You know, and she's very well-liked in Hollywood. But aside from being well-liked, because sometimes that does tip it in a little bit, as soon as I saw her in I, Tanya, when the movie was over, I turned to my wife and I said, if she doesn't win an Academy Award for that, something's very wrong. She was just really, really good in it.
Really amazing.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We've got some news, and then there's a lot more show. We'll talk more about the Oscars as the day goes on. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Ryan. All right, it's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, and tooling around the internet, I found this article written by Liza Long. It turns out she has a book, The Price of Silence, A Mom's Perspective on Mental Illness. She's done a lot of things because she has mental illness in her family. I'd like to introduce you to Liza Long. Hi, Liza. How are you?
Hi, Wendy. Thanks so much for having me on your show today.
Well, it's something that we need to talk about. Bill, you know, every time a school shooting happens, which unfortunately is happening frequently, most recently the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, I always say something about, you know, the parents of the shooter. No one expects their kid to do something like this, and it kind of breaks my heart. I'm not saying he's a great kid and he shouldn't be punished, but it's the parents don't expect their kid to do something like this. And when Sandy Hook happened back in 2012, Adam Lanza was the shooter there, and you wrote this blog 6 years ago, and it's so touching. Tell us about this.
Oh, yeah. The day of Sandy Hook, my son was in an acute care psychiatric hospital for the third time. He'd already been to jail four times, all for symptoms of a still undiagnosed behavioral brain difference. And I was so heartbroken by Sandy Hook. My second thought was for my second grader and my third grader. I just wanted to rush to their school. But my first thought, and I thought I was the only mom in America who felt this way, was, what if that's my 13-year-old son someday? What if I can't get him the help he needs? And at that time, I just felt an amazing amount of empathy, and I was so grateful you just shared empathy, Wendy, for Nancy Lanza, because I could see what her life was like as she tried to help her child, as she tried to get mental health care. It had been the same journey that I'd been on with my son, and sadly, now we're seeing the exact same thing with Nicholas Cruz and with the Parkland shootings, where a young man cried out for help, had multiple opportunities where the system failed him, and that's why I'm so passionate about speaking up for kids today.
Liza, a two-part question here. Part number one, how old was your son during this when Sandy Hook took place? And part number two, I hate to ruin the end to any story, but is he doing okay today?
Oh, yeah. He was 13 at the time, and as I said, he was undiagnosed. One of the amazing consequences of that blog going viral five years ago was that he was actually correctly diagnosed just a few months later with bipolar disorder. And after getting the correct diagnosis and treatment that worked, today he's 18 years old. He's the head of a youth advocacy group, and he's heading to college in the fall on a full scholarship. So I think that's the future we would want for all of our children. And both Eric and I called him Michael in the essay, but he's since come out and done his own advocacy work. So both Eric and I just want that future for every family.
I have some struggles in our family. Bipolar runs in our family. And at 13 years of age, they say it really can't necessarily be diagnosed. You have to wait till puberty kicks in. Mood disorder can be diagnosed, and that usually leads into bipolar. And no one wants to talk about it. And you know what? We need to talk about it. There are not very many resources for kids under 16. Even if you have good insurance, there aren't really many doctors that deal with pediatric psychiatry. It's kind of a losing battle, Liza.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because it's really the critical lack of access to resources that so many families struggle with. We hear a lot about stigma and the concern that we can't talk about it, but I would say since the tragic shootings in Newtown, a lot of us have been speaking up and demanding change and fighting for change. And the real challenge, again, as the Parkland shooting illustrates, is the lack of resources for families. You completely articulated the problem, Wendy. It's really hard to get a diagnosis. I am a highly privileged white woman who was able to take my child out of state to a really great doctor. That's just not the reality for most families. And again, the very best doctors don't even take insurance.
That's totally true. Liza Long is on the air with us right now. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell us, when I read this article and you're talking, I am Adam Lanza's mom. Is that it?
Yes, I am
Adam Lanza's mother. You can find it online. You should read it, because there's a point in this that had me in tears, because as your son, Michael, at the time, was having a little meltdown about what to wear in his school uniform, you had two younger kids, and as he was acting up, please tell us what your younger kids had to do.
Well, I have to stress that every family who has a violent child, like my son, must have a safety plan. It's absolutely critical. You cannot be in denial for the safety of your other children, right? And so in our case, we had worked with Child Protective Services to design a safety plan in case Eric was violent. And my younger two children, almost like it was just a fire drill, ran to the car. They had their devices. They ran to the car. They locked the door so that they could be safe. And I also have to stress, I think the sibling experience is so important. My younger two children are still in therapy because of the trauma that having a violent older brother inflicted on them. And so it's really a whole family illness where every part of the family experiences the consequences of failure to access treatment and care.
There's a lot of blame that goes out there, too, which really is frustrating to me. And both my kids are doing great, ADHD and some other issues mixed in there. But there are once you find the right treatment and the right issues, everything can be handled. But there are a lot of parents out there that judge other people. My youngest son, at one point, there's videotape somewhere of me dragging him out of a Marshalls or a TJ Maxx because he was having a tantrum. And I just picked him up. Up and pulled him out of the store, and he said to me, "She's not my mother."
Yes, or my son used to yell "child abuser," which was really great. So that was a really great one. So yeah, I think.
But other people looking on, Liza, I'm just saying, right. If there are other people at the store, they roll their eyes and they're like, "Boy, you can't even handle your kid."
Right. And, it's the type of behavior that from a 3-year-old would be expected. And so then when it's your 10-year-old, people really do rush to judgment. I still remember this happening to me in Target when I was nodding my head when you were telling that story, because it happened to me in Target once. And this woman was like, "I'm calling the police on you right now," as I'm trying to get my family safely to the car so that we can handle the meltdown. And the store manager actually intervened as I was putting my son in the car. He said, "My nephew has autism, so I get it." And at that time, Eric did have a diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder. So, that just illustrates the challenges. Like, people would not be judgy about you if your child had cancer, but if your child has behavioral symptoms of a brain difference, all the gloves are off for parents.
Liza, what happens if you're the parent of a child who fits this description and there's some underlying fear that something horrible could happen, that your child could snap at some point and do something, as we've seen in the case of these school shootings? What do you do with that? Who do you go to? Is there some internal struggle between you and a spouse where you try to decide together what the next move is? How do you play it?
Well, the very unfortunate answer to your question, and many parents have been told this, not just myself, is that you do have to rely on law enforcement. In fact, later today, I'll be doing crisis intervention team training for our law enforcement here in Ontario, Oregon, right across the border. And it's just so sad that our brave men and women who've chosen a career in law enforcement are tasked with being first responders, even for children, in cases of mental health crisis. And, I mean, that's really the tragedy for me, looking at what's happened this time with Parkland, is that numerous people saw something and numerous people spoke up and said, hey, there are some issues here. And this is not, by the way, meant to fault law enforcement. They do not have the resources that they need to really adequately address the problem. But they're kind of the last resort. And you know, they're the people who, at the end of the day, when there is violence, they are the ones who have to deal with it. I don't think it's fair to our brave police at all that this is the system that we've designed. I mean, again, imagine if we criminalized cancer, right? And we've basically criminalized an illness, these children then have to become involved in the juvenile detention services just to get treatment, medical treatment. That was certainly my son's case, and I've heard it from countless other families as well.
When we saw the pictures of Nicholas Cruz on the television, Bill and I were talking off the air, and he didn't look right. I mean, we were talking about you can't judge a book by a cover, but look at that kid. And I looked at those eyes, and it was just a lost soul. Now, again, I am not making excuses for him, but he needed help and didn't get it. And a lot of times, as you mentioned, if someone has cancer, they get help. If you have a mental illness, you don't see the wheelchair. It's not a physical wheelchair. It's an emotional wheelchair. And a lot of times it's impossible to get help. I think Nicholas Cruz, he lost his parents. I don't know about insurance, but that was a huge problem. We need to talk about this more. Don't you agree?
Well, I agree, and I think we also need to make sure that the services are there and in place. Instead of continuing to cut funding for mental health services, if we really want to blame mental illness for mass shootings, it's time for us as a society to put our money where our mouth is. Because the good news is, if it is mental illness, treatment actually works and recovery is possible. That's the good news. The tragic news is that 5 years after Newtown, we still have not really done much at all to build those resources and to get kids like Nicholas Cruz the care that they need. That's a tragedy for me.
We're talking to Liza Long. Her book is The Price of Silence, A Mom's Perspective on Mental Illness. If you'd like to comment or question anything we've said, 312-981-7200 gets it done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. What do you do as a parent if your child has a mental illness and could potentially be dangerous? Liza Long is our guest. She's written a book called The Price of Silence, A Mom's Perspective on Mental Illness. Liza, we have some phone calls lined up for you. It's either Anna or Anna, and I apologize for not knowing which. Anna?
Hi, it's Anna.
Hi, Anna. Go ahead. You're talking to Liza Long.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear this today, because sometimes I feel like all alone in an oasis in the middle of nowhere. But I have a child who was adopted who had many issues, and he's, you know, suffered at school, and he often is the one that's getting bullied. The only difference between him and, like, an Adam Lanza is he's very social. He has autism and several other things, but he wants to be a part of the crowd and wants to have friends, and he's not isolated. And just last week, we had the opposite happen to us, where he was at school the week after the last shooting, and a girl came up to him and made a comment that he was going to be the next school shooter. And someone went and told another person who told another person who told another person. And then the school called the police, and I was called out of work, and he was removed from school.
And this was all due to a rumor, Anna, that someone else started.
Yes.
Liza.
Yes.
Oh, Anna, that is so heartbreaking.
It is. It affected my job. I'm a teacher, and a parent in my classroom took their child out of my classroom after it happened. It was in the newspaper. The police came to our house and searched our house and seized our computers and our phones. And it's just so misunderstood. And then it has to go that far. And I understand the panic. I do understand the police's perspective. So that's the only consolation I really had, was that I see their point. If I was a parent, I would be worried. And he does have some issues, but he's not the type of person that would ever be that person. He's happy, you know, wants to be around other people.
And Anna, the key is you are getting him help, correct? Liza, isn't that it?
Yes.
As a parent that gets involved and does what they can to get their child help, I think is all the difference.
Oh, yeah. You definitely are doing what you can.
The school districts, I think, dropped the ball, too, though. They don't know how to deal with mental health issues. And he gets lost in the shuffle many, many times because there's no programs for him at school. And they either want to go one way and totally include him when it's not the best case, or they want to totally go the other way and exclude him. There's no happy middle ground.
Anna, one thing I would definitely recommend is that you should know your child's rights within the school setting. I know I didn't know anything about this until I started researching my book, but actually there's a federal law, IDEA, that's kind of like the Americans with Disabilities Act, but for kids in school. And your child is entitled to free and appropriate services within the school setting, but no one will volunteer this information to you. You probably know that even as a teacher. So I would be really, I don't want to say aggressive, that's not the right word, but I'd really try to encourage the school to be in compliance with federal law to make sure that your son is getting the support he needs in the classroom.
Anna, good luck to you.
It's an uphill battle, though. I think the schools need to step up.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Anna, I know there are 504 plans and independent education plans, IEPs, but you do have to work for it. And Anna, good luck to you.
He has one. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, not only do you have to work to get the plan, but you have to work to enforce the plan, Wendy, as you probably know.
Yes.
Liza, I'm curious what you think about this. This was one of the topics that was debated after the shooting a couple of weeks ago in Florida. Parkland had expelled Nicholas Cruz a couple months prior to the shootings. So some people say that that was one of the last straws in this case. Other people said they had no right to expel him. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really common, unfortunately, one of the well-intended, I think, consequences, but really a consequence that's backfired is this zero tolerance idea, right? Because then we're actually preventing kids from getting the help they need. I actually researched a very different model in my book. It was out of Walla Walla, Washington, and it's been featured in Paper Tigers, where the principal of the Walla Walla school, instead of expelling kids, had the amazing insight to look at a troublemaker and say, "What's going on in your life?" And that one question led to so many things and so many opportunities to provide resources. So a lot of us who work and advocate in mental health really would prefer that second approach where we call it trauma-informed, right? We try to find out what the root of that behavior is. I personally don't think that kids want to behave badly in school. So if they are behaving badly, we should find out what's going on there.
Again, we talk about this a lot. It all comes back to we all want to be loved. We all want to feel welcome. And sometimes when a kid is acting out, that's all they're trying to do is to get attention and feel that love.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, when a child doesn't feel attention, even negative attention is better than no attention at all. And that's exactly right. Sometimes these behaviors can be symptomatic of brain differences, you know, that can be treated with medication or with therapy or a combination of both. I mean, one thing I would recommend that I wish the schools would offer all our kids is occupational therapy. That was something I didn't know about, and it was tremendously beneficial for my son. It continues to help him. He has multiple sensory issues, and so working with an occupational therapist has helped him to be able to navigate his day kind of successfully. So I'd recommend that for your listeners who are struggling with children who have behavioral issues.
And I want to say someone has texted, it also needs to be said, please, not everyone with a mental illness is going to be violent. I have children with mental health concerns, bipolar, and one with schizophrenia, and their behaviors can be erratic and bizarre, but neither one of them has ever been violent, and that does need to be mentioned.
Well, I think it's really important to say that when treated, people are no more likely to be violent than anyone else. And in fact, that's been the case with my son. Once we found effective treatment, the violent behavior stopped, like completely stopped. I'm not saying bipolar was a happy ending diagnosis for him. He works very hard at managing his mental health. But the violent behavior did, in fact, stop once we had the correct diagnosis and the correct medication for him. It took 10 years, which is a tragedy. But by the same token, I'm really glad that someone texted that. But I also think that from a family member perspective, we shouldn't shame parents for talking about the realities of their existence. And my story is all too common, unfortunately, where a family does have a child with violent behaviors. I have to stress, my son is an amazing kid. I think that even comes through in the piece. He's such a great kid. That's why I wanted to fight so hard for him. I knew that he wasn't trying to be bad, you know. It was just this illness that we could not, I couldn't help him. So I do think that it should be okay for families to share their truth.
I want to keep in touch with you. I really do. Liza Long is her name. I've got to get your book, The Price of Silence, A Mom's Perspective on Mental Illness. We have a ton of texts coming through thanking you for sharing your time with us today. And you can go to her website at lizalong.com. It's so nice to meet you, Liza, and good luck to your son and the rest of your family.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Liza. Appreciate it. We'll take a quick break. We've got news for you next, and then there's more show ahead. Bill and Wendy on WGN. Ryan, Wendy's upset because her plan to own Frances McDormand's Oscar has been thwarted. We'll get you an Oscar. Don't worry.
Just wait. Wait till things don't go quite right in her life. That's the first thing you sell, right?
Yep.
Hey, I got to thank Ryan Burrow for something.
We all do.
I'll accept it.
Is yours?
Well, here's where I was complaining about getting a senior discount at...
at the tender age of just 55, there are places already offering you senior discounts.
Which bothered me at first at the Park District when I went to join, but it was, you know, you can save $5 a month. So then I'm like, okay, whatever. I still don't look 55, so I'll just take it. But then, as we were discussing it... Ryan Burrow went on some kind of website and found out all the senior discounts for 55 and up.
There's quite a few of them.
I did what we call Googling it.
Oh, you know.
Ryan, say that again because I got to write this down.
Google.
Yeah. All right, I'll look that up on the internet.
Although I'll tell you, neither one of us thought to Google.
No. So Ryan's ahead of the game.
It's one of those newfound websites they've got out there. Yeah.
And other people benefited from this as well. Judy Pilak, our own Judy Pilak, said she heard Ryan, you know, talking about some of the discounts for 55 and up, and your wife did too.
Yeah, my wife has decided she'd rather pay the extra 10 or 15 bucks and not be perceived as a senior citizen in any case. So, yeah.
Well, I decided to try it this weekend.
Where'd
you go? Senior discount. It's kind of funny, but...
had your driver's license all ready to go?
Well, here's what I didn't know. So, let's... I pulled up to the drive-thru at... I wanted some sliders. I was going to bring some sliders home for the family. Yeah. So, I went to White Castle, and, you know, hi, White Castle, can I help you? And I said... What is the age for your senior discount? That was my first, that was my opening line.
And then you say, and whatever it is, say it loudly. Please.
No, I said, what age is your senior discount? And the kid is like, I don't know.
Oh.
I said, well, could you find out for me? And he goes, yeah, hang on a minute. So then he goes, 55. And I said,
oh, bingo.
What do you know?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay.
I'll have 1,000 White Castles, please.
I did my typical 4 double cheese and then 10 sliders, 10 cheeseburgers. Because we like to heat them up the next day. And I live with 3 boys.
Right. Someone will eat them.
Yeah. Always.
It's great stuffing, by the way, too, for Thanksgiving.
Yes, no, seriously,
my wife
does
that. My wife does that. That's the best thing. On Wednesday, I get home from work, and she's bought some, and we eat some that night, and then it goes in the turkey. Anyways, on with the story.
All right. So I pull up to the window, and you know, I saw on the screen he put my order, and then he put senior discount. So I'm like, okay, well, good. I got the discount. It's 10%.
It adds up.
It totally does.
Right, sure.
So then I pull up to the window, and there's this young guy, and I said, do you need to see my ID or something?
Sonny? Do you need my ID, Sonny?
I didn't say that.
You didn't say that?
I said, do you need my ID? I had it out and everything, and he goes, no, I believe you. And I said, ouch. And he said, well, no, that's okay. I didn't. How old are you? And I said, well, I just turned 55. And
he goes,
oh, you don't. Yeah. He goes, you don't look 55.
Oh.
And then he starts to try and be smooth. And he's like, are you a Pisces? Because I said, I just turned 55. And he goes, oh, Pisces? I said, no, Aquarius. And he goes, oh, I thought you were nice. But no, you're not a Pisces. I'm a Pisces. My birthday is next week. And I'm like, well, congratulations.
Wow.
But I got my discount, and
congratulations.
He was very nice to me, and then he said, I wouldn't have guessed you were a senior, and I said, well, it's too late now. You didn't ask to card me. But you just say it at the drive-thru.
Right.
And I had it ready to roll, and I guess I look 55.
He should hum like an Ariana Grande song, and if you can identify it, you don't get the discount.
No, you
he
don't.
He should test you with certain pop culture things to see if you're of age or not.
Well, no, I am going to start using it wherever I can.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 10%.
It, like I said, it could add up. You could.
Terry's not going to do this?
No. And she didn't even have to tell me that. I know her well enough because she said, I heard your conversation about senior discounts today. And I go, and I already know the answer is going to be, I'm not taking them. I'm not using them.
It was kind of exciting. It was my. You always remember your first time, and it was a White Castle.
Wow, it's like you're on the opposite end of being able to buy your first legal drink, right? This is like the
antithesis. I want to be carded the other way,
right? Right. Although I'm sure you've been. There are some places where they still insist on carding you, even though.
Yes.
Let's be honest. I don't know who would look at you and go, "I don't know if that lady's old enough to drink." I'm pretty sure, with all due respect, because I still get carded every once in a while. And I go. Why? You have to know I'm way older.
We were somewhere, I can't remember, but Dylan was like, oh, Mom, you got carded.
Yeah.
I said, because they have to, Dylan. Trust me, they don't think I'm under 21.
Right.
I mean, if they do, they need glasses.
But then how about just saying, thank you, and
yeah,
smile?
I do. That would work.
I do.
Say that next time. Thank you. I always want to hug the person. Come here, you. I'm not usually a hugger.
There are limits. Don't overdo it,
no,
okay?
You can't overdo
it. Just say thank you.
Yeah.
Ryan's voice changed.
Yeah.
Take it.
More resonant than usual.
Baby.
Yeah.
It's changed. Oh,
wait, I was just talking to Ryan, and that just
And that's what happens sometimes.
But yeah, so you're a senior, aren't you, David?
Yeah, I crossed that threshold.
His name in Spanish is Senior Discount. That's David's. That's David's Spanish name.
El Cheapo.
Yeah, El Cheapo.
All right, but now wait a minute. I'm not cheap.
No, no one's saying that.
David is.
Well, David is, and I am, but nobody else is.
No, but I just thought, you know, I may as well
live it up while the living can be.
Hey,
upped.
You know what? We earned the privilege.
Well, that's what I kind of thought.
Of you know,
for all the years
having
I've paid,
AARP membership,
etc. I haven't gotten that yet.
Oh, trust me.
Are you
what
clipping,
are you waiting for?
You're not clipping coupons, are you?
No,
you're
I used to do that in my 20s and actually do it.
Did you? Yeah, you really did?
Yeah, because then I didn't make a lot of money, so I tried to be frugal.
Yeah.
Now I just, you know, I've earned it.
Yeah.
Now I'm entitled to my discount.
Nothing more fun than being behind somebody in line who's brought a bunch of coupons.
They do it so quick. God, you are so crotchety.
They do not do it quickly. I've had to shave while I'm in line at Jewel because somebody has a ticket for some coupon for Salts and Blue that'll save them a nickel.
Whatever.
Man, here's the nickel.
Talk about exaggeration. Wow.
Here's
Bill,
your nickel.
Really?
Move on.
All right, but I'm one away from the $1 million in the Jewel Monopoly.
Oh,
so
how exciting.
One away.
I bet you find it. I guarantee you'll find it. All right, let's do this. Thanks, Ryan. We'll take a quick break.
I do have Ryan to thank for the discount.
Yeah,
so.
I know. He helped you out.
And
all right,
then he disappeared. He's like my fairy.
Yeah.
My
a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wow, that was angelic. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Last night, the 90th Annual Academy Awards were held in Los Angeles, California. A good place for them, Wendy, because the movie industry is centered there. I don't know if you're aware of that. Jimmy Kimmel was the host. Did a very nice job. So what happens is, as the award show is going on, or sometimes immediately after, people go to the internet and they complain about stuff that just happened during the award show. One of the things is that has become an annual tradition is the In Memoriam segment, where they pay tribute to the Hollywood greats that have lost their lives, who have passed away during the year. People always go, hey, you mentioned him, you mentioned her, but you didn't mention that guy. What's with that? So let's go through a couple of those.
All right. Every year you do this with me, and yeah. Every year I feel like they leave people out intentionally just so people talk about
maybe.
Them.
It's possible.
In a weird way, I almost feel it's better to be left out because then you get more attention
a lot more
afterwards.
Press. You're right. No, you're absolutely right. Well, of course, they're going to mention Harry Dean Stanton, and they're going to mention Roger Moore and Martin Landau. Why wouldn't they mention those guys? Sam Shepard got a mention. John Hurt got a mention. George A. Romero, the guy who did the first zombie movies.
Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Yep.
Return of the Living Dead, Day of the Dead.
Deadheads.
Brunch of the Dead. He made all those movies. He got mentioned. You know who made me tear up? Just out of nowhere, Don Rickles. I'm fine. And I go, oh, it's sad that she died. Oh, and he died. And then they showed Don Rickles just looking as funny and peaceful as can be. And tears came to my eyes.
You're the first and only person I thought of when Don Rickles
I wept,
came.
I really did. Because I didn't expect him to be in this one. I know, of course, he died. But I didn't know that the Academy would pay tribute to Don Rickles. That was a pretty high honor. And he just looked so vivacious in the photograph they showed.
He did look good. He looked like Don Rickles.
Yeah, he did.
I mean,
yes,
he always looked like Don Rickles.
Oh, that was so sad.
Eddie Vedder did a great job with that, too, by the way.
The Tom Petty song?
Yeah,
yeah, that was
Eddie.
Very stirring. But now people go, hey, you mentioned all those guys. How about these guys? And they mentioned Powers Booth.
He should have been included.
He could have been included. Robert Guillaume.
Benson.
Yeah, Benson wasn't mentioned. Now, here's a quick thing, because I was going to mention this at the end, but I'll mention it now anyway. The reason the Academy leaves out some of these people, and I've only mentioned two names, but I got a bunch of others that will be mentioned, is that they are known primarily for the work on either television or the stage. all the people could certainly have been mentioned, but a lot of times what they decide is if an actor or actress is better known for their work on TV, they leave that to the Emmys to mention them.
I know. I guess that's the case.
Like, how many Robert Guillaume movies can you mention? Can you name?
One.
Lion King?
Now, yeah.
Oh, what was the other one?
I didn't know.
He was Rafiki in Lion King.
Okay, that's it. I didn't know. I just was trying to play along.
I know he was probably in more movies than that, but he's going to always be known as Benson.
I forgot Roger Moore died.
Yeah, Roger Moore. One of the James Bond. He'd be the first James Bond to have died, right? I think. Yeah.
All I know is I said that he's the best Bond.
Yeah.
Have you rethought
that? It's Sean Connery.
It is, because when they did the little clips for the 90th, those were really good to watch. They were very long.
Yeah.
All these for supporting actresses and, main actress and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw the Sean Connery Bond, James Bond.
He's James Bond.
He wins, hands down.
I know.
Sorry, I'm taking back my Roger Moore.
No, it's all right. And they even put him next to Daniel Craig. And as much as I like Daniel Craig, I go, but.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery's James Bond.
Absolutely.
All right, John Hillerman.
He's
been in movies, but you know him from Magnum P.I.
Yes, yes.
Right?
All right.
Adam West.
Yeah, Batman should have, I guess, more TV, but...
I can't think of a single movie Adam West is in. I'm sure he was in some movies, but I can't name one. But he's Batman on TV, you know? Jim Nabors. Name a Jim Nabors movie. I can't.
He wasn't in Shazam?
Shazam the movie? No. They left him out of Shazam the movie. John Mahoney. Now, John Mahoney has some pretty memorable movie roles.
He does, then he should have been.
Say Anything. He's the dad. He's Iron Sky's dad in Say Anything. He's fantastic in it. He's been in a couple other movies.
But he's mainly known for television.
Moonstruck.
Oh, I love
with
that.
With Cher and Nicolas Cage. He's in that. He's really good in that.
Nicolas Cage shouldn't have been in that.
Rose Marie.
Again, these are more known
That's
for TV.
Sally Rogers.
Yeah.
That's,
but see, I guess the Oscars are the big hoopla for Hollywood.
Yes.
So to me, any celebrity falls under that umbrella.
That's tough, though. No, so at the beginning of this one, here's what I noticed. Usually, it's mostly your actors and actresses, and there's some tech people thrown in. You know, there's some people who have scored movies or have edited movies or something. This year, almost the first six or eight were all people that most people outside of the business would not recognize until they got to John Hurd, and people went, oh, yeah, the dad from Home Alone. Oh, yeah, that guy. But other than that, it was almost all insider people, you know, people who work behind the scenes in movies, and then they got to the actors and actresses later. But so far, everyone on the list, and there's only another name or two, they really are, as much as they deserve their due, they're basically more TV actors and actresses than movies.
Except, a texter is right, Don Rickles was in movies?
Don Rickles was in some movies.
Well, so was John Mahoney.
Right. Don Rickles.
What is Don Rickles known for mainly? Not movies, Bill.
Showing up on The Tonight Show.
Okay,
and
so.
Making fun of Frank Sinatra.
Okay, you know. So technically, if you're going with your.
Right, that's why I didn't expect to see him. I really didn't expect to see Don Rickles in part of the In Memoriam last night. But I guess.
Jim Nabors was in Stroker Ace with Burt Reynolds, by the way.
All right, then he belonged in there. If you're in Stroker Ace with Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson, I think you've earned your place in the In Memoriam segment. Don Rickles' most famous movie role would probably be from the Toy Story movies. He was in other movies, but he did one of the voices in the Toy Story movie.
So he's in Benson territory.
Probably. Except I can't name a single Robert Guillaume movie.
You just said The Lion King. And
oh,
the
yeah,
same
that one.
Thing. Yeah, but
yeah,
he did a voice like Don Rickles did. It's just you like Don Rickles.
I like Robert Guillaume.
Not as much as Don Rickles.
No, that's true. I do play favorites sometimes. And the other name that people are upset about, well, there's a few more. Jerry Van Dyke.
TV.
Who, again, a couple of movie roles, a lot more TV roles. Toby Hooper, the director from Poltergeist, he deserved to be in there. He directed a bunch of movies over the years. And there's a guy named Lewis Gilbert, who you might not know. He directed a bunch of the early James Bond movies. And other films, too, but mostly the James Bond movies.
Hey, Bill, be sure and mention Glenn Campbell in your memoriam segment. He was
True
left
Grit.
Out. Yep. He was great in that.
He was fantastic.
He really was.
Now, I'm trying to think if that was his only movie role. I can't think of anything else he's been in movie-wise.
Was there a movie, The Rhinestone Cowboy?
Yes, there was. But it was Robert Redford. So I don't think Glenn Campbell, he may have sang in it, but I don't think he was in it.
He should have been.
Yeah.
Kelly's right. Heroes, Don Rickles.
Yeah, Kelly's Heroes.
So he's one above Robert Guillaume.
I think it was Kelly's Heroes that got him in there, and Robert Guillaume was left outside in that one. I mean, if they had time, and here's the sad thing is, I would if there was a show called In Memoriam where they just showed pictures of people who have passed away, I'd watch that.
I'd watch it
the
every
In Memoriam
day.
Show. I love this show. Yeah, I would watch it constantly. But they can't have a show like that.
Ron, we have 30 seconds. Go.
I'll be real brief. This is Midlothian, Ron. There was a very good science fiction movie came out in 1964 called Robinson Crusoe on Mars, and Adam West had a somewhat of a prominent role in there. It was about two astronauts that crash land on Mars, and Adam West actually does pass away, but the other remaining astronaut does survive.
Spoiler alert.
And it was a very good film. It was in color, and it was a very good science fiction movie. Look it up.
So based on that, would you put him in the In Memoriam segment?
Well, he did other movies. He did a lot of TV, but he did other movies. I would put him in.
Okay. All right. Next time.
And somebody said, thank you so much, Ron. Somebody said Bill Paxton, but he was too early.
He was more than a year ago, right?
Right. And Mary Tyler Moore was in January of last year, but I think she was honored at the awards last year.
Right. If she died in January of last year, she definitely would have gotten and didn't make a lot of movies. But, you know, Ordinary People gets in all by itself.
That's a great movie.
Not a Change of Habit with Elvis. You lose points for that one.
It's an Elvis movie. You gain points.
Yeah. All right. Did you ever see Change of Habit?
No, but
you would take points away if you ever saw it. It's
you'd
ridiculous.
Be more popular if you were in an Elvis movie.
I'm working on it.
Too late.
I'm not
now.
Giving up. All right. We'll take a quick break. We've got news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, David. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. If you'd like to call us or text us, we would love to hear from you. Our discussion centering primarily around last night's Academy Awards, the Oscars, Wendy, 90th anniversary.
I don't typically watch it since I've been working with you, because you usually do, and I figure that gives us, like, he said, she said kind of thing. But you weren't here for the Golden Globes, I believe, one of the awards shows, and I had to watch it and pay attention, and I kind of got back into the swing of things. So I did watch it again last night.
They're fun to watch. People always complain and they go, oh, they're way too long. Well, they're going to give out 24 statues, regardless of what you think. So that takes some time. They're going to do some comedy bits. They're going to sing some songs. It's, you know, it's 3.5 hours, no matter what you do. Now, I have to ask you this, because Jimmy, your husband, is so immersed in the world of Star Wars. Last night, Mark Hamill came out, and then two of the stars from the new Star Wars movies and one of the droids. And they had some banter back and forth that I don't know if it went real well.
Oh, no, they sucked.
Okay.
But
did he agree to that? Did he also think that it was awful or not?
He just loves them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he
they can do
criticized
no wrong for
it.
Him.
Well, I mean, they didn't suck. I shouldn't say that. But I got to tell
bad.
You, Mark Hamill looked really good. He's gone through some phases.
Yeah.
And he looked really good to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one it is. I-88.
One of the droids that
What's
was there?
What's the droid? B-8.
I don't know which one it is.
Before and after.
Those are vitamins. You're just mentioning vitamins now.
You know the name of that droid.
I honestly don't. It's the round. I call it the round one. It's the one that's like a globe.
He came
out. And I said, when he came out, when he rolled out, as much as I love kid stuff, anytime you put a cartoon character, a Muppet, or a robot out there, It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, I think they didn't make up that stuff. They were reading their...
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I kept thinking to myself, whoever the writers were, and I know they've got a bunch of writers. One of them, by the way, Carol Leifer. I saw her name in the writing credits. Yeah, so good for her. So some of the bits were really well-crafted. We talked earlier about the one with Maya Rudolph and Tiffany Haddish. That was really funny. and the stuff with Jodie Foster and Jennifer Lawrence at the end, I thought that was really funny. Although Meryl Streep's husband did not. Did you see the look on his face? They're making fun of Meryl Streep. And she's all, anytime anyone makes fun of Meryl Streep, she loves it. Right. She laughs like crazy. I remember a few years ago when Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin were hosting the show and they were paying tribute to Meryl Streep. And Steve Martin said, it's so odd that she collects Nazi memorabilia just out of nowhere. And they show her just laughing like a madwoman.
Yeah,
she always does. But then they always show her husband, who's just kind of staring down anybody who makes fun of her. I don't know why he's not in on the joke. They love and respect Meryl Streep. They're
he's
not
protective of her.
I guess so. All right, so the same writers, I'm thinking they wrote those bits for those guys. Why wasn't the Star Wars bit a little funnier? We have a clip from last night. Listen to this. Oh, no, it's missing. The same person who stole Frances McDormand's Oscar also stole our clip.
I don't know the stealing of the Oscar story with Frances McDormand.
I don't know if you heard earlier in the news they reported, Ryan reported, and now David, I guess, will find it at some point, but she couldn't find her Oscar for a few moments, and they tracked it down, and it was some woman who was trying to steal it. She had it in her possession.
Would she leave it in the bathroom when she went to the bathroom?
I don't know exactly.
She apparently was at one of the after parties, and somehow she and it kind of didn't stay in the exact same place.
Oh, you don't let go of that thing.
No.
You bring it to the bathroom with you?
This other woman, I think, is now being held. I think the number was either $20,000 or $25,000 bond. So they do have someone in custody.
Yeah. How about that?
Well, the Star Wars bit was kind of lame, but they didn't write it. They didn't.
I don't think they did.
I don't know. I hate to admit this. I haven't seen the new movie yet.
Uh-oh.
Because my knee was replaced, and I didn't want to sit there for 2 hours, and now I can do it. And Jim says to me last night, this is the only Star Wars movie I haven't taken you to see in a big theater. And I'm like, well, is it playing somewhere? Can we get someone to play it?
Yeah. You'll see it at some point. Don't
panic. I will, but he's just upset that I didn't see it in a big theater.
Right.
But yeah, I'll watch it. So I didn't know who the two people were that were up there presenting. And BB-8.
Oscar Isaac was one of the guys. I don't know who the actress was. And yeah, BB-8, I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
See, that's the difference in me. There was a day where I would have not only told you the android's name, but like who crafted him, what planet he was from. I don't know any of that anymore.
I thought Mark Hamill looked really good.
I always wonder when they're given a bit to do during those awards and it's not funny, like they must know. Mark Hamill's savvy enough to know this isn't funny and I don't know if it's going to work. So can you say something to them? Like,
no.
Let's rework this. Let's think of something better.
Listen, he's Mark Hamill and no one even cares. Like, true Star Wars fans don't even care what he said. They just care that he was there.
Yeah, I guess.
And I was thinking about it when Jimmy Kimmel went to the movie theater.
Yeah.
I know that there was some Star Wars fan somewhere in that movie theater who realized that was Mark Hamill and jumped over a seat to go, oh my God, Luke,
right.
I am your father.
Yeah.
You know, I know somebody geeked out to see him.
Yeah. You asked earlier about Maya Rudolph's husband. This is Paul Thomas Anderson, who was nominated last night for The Phantom Thread, which I didn't see. Heard good things about it, but didn't get to see. He's a great filmmaker, and his dad is somebody from television history who's very, very famous. Do you know who his dad is?
What's his name again?
His name is Paul Thomas Anderson. So who is his dad?
Harry Dean Anderson.
No.
Richard Dean Anderson.
No. His dad, are you ready? Are
Harry
you sitting
Anderson.
Down? No, it's not Harry Anderson.
Who's that?
He's
is that
Night Court? Yeah.
I don't know.
His dad is Ernie Anderson, Wendy.
Awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yep. ABC.
Yep, the voice of ABC.
That Ernie Anderson?
That was my question.
Remember when you'd hear it'd be like, Doc and Gopher are getting a jacuzzi, but it's Captain Steubing who's in hot water on the new Love Boat. That guy?
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
Wow.
And in addition to that, he also, I know this is inside, but since we just had Svengoolie on, he used to be Goularty, who was like a version of Svengoolie.
For which town? Like Philadelphia?
Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles?
I think Los Angeles. I'm pretty sure Los Angeles. But he was like one of the first of those guys, you know, the horror show hosts. That was Ernie Anderson as Goulardi.
I don't like that name. It sounds too much like a pasta.
Goulardi?
Yes. I just don't like it. It was Cleveland. I was right.
Oh, it was Cleveland. Well, wow. How did you do that?
Because I remember talking to Sven Gulli about Goulardi, telling him what a stupid name that is. Because
it reminds you of pasta.
Cleveland's Goulardi. Yeah.
I thought Chef it was Goulardi. It sounds like Chef Boyardee. That's
Goulardi.
Why. Yeah. Is that why? Is that the tie-in?
No, I don't know. Sven Gulli sounds cool.
Yeah. But all imitators.
I don't like the word ghoul.
Oh.
Ghoul is not.
Robert Goulet. Do you like? No. All right.
Goulardi. It just sounds stupid. Sven Gulli is awesome.
But these were not their birth names.
Oh, you
know,
really?
No, they adopted the characters. They took on the characters. You know that. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then more discussion about the Academy Awards. What'd you think? Happy, not happy? 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
We have some breaking news, Bill.
What is the breaking news?
Academy Award breaking news. Los Angeles police say a man has been arrested for allegedly stealing Frances McDormand's Oscar statuette. Wouldn't you bring that thing everywhere?
I would bring it everywhere. I would also, if I was going to steal an Academy Award, I would not steal hers because she's crazy.
She's pretty nuts.
I'm afraid she would hurt me.
I love her.
I would steal the Rocks Academy Award. Let's think about those words for just a moment, shall we? The Rocks Academy Award. I would steal his Academy Award before Frances McDormand's. She's very unpredictable.
What about Kobe Bryant's?
Right.
Because I can't believe he got one.
Right. You know, a well-deserved award for Frances McDormand. And I did really enjoy the moment where she had all the women who had been nominated for anything stand up and get some attention. I thought that was a really, really nice moment there last night. Didn't you?
That was pretty nice. She has a crazy little laugh.
Doesn't she?
I just love her. And sometimes I think she's weird just to be weird.
Yeah, that's what I was watching with Winona Ryder yesterday, and she said that exact same thing, Wendy, that Frances McDormand is weird for the sake of being weird. She just kind of, you know, does whatever she feels like. She always seems startled, like everything startles her, you know. Now, I did want to call attention to Jordan Peele, who won for Best Original Screenplay yesterday. Because the mere fact that he has never written a movie before or directed a movie before or produced a movie before and was nominated for all three and won for Best Screenplay, the odds of that are infinitesimal, that's not going to happen. But it was really nice to see a guy on his first time out doing something like this get nominated and then win an Academy Award. And that's a guy who's best known, of course, for Key and Peele.
Right.
Which is a great show, but you don't automatically go, well, yeah, I guess you could say this about Woody Harrelson, too, from Cheers. Watch the first few seasons of Cheers with Woody Harrelson. You're not going to go, oh, that guy will probably be nominated for an Academy Award at some point.
Right. Yeah, I still can't believe the Get Out won all these awards. I mean, it was a really good movie, but as I'm looking at some of these clips, I never saw Dunkirk, but that to me is epic, epic proportions,
right.
And that to me is like
right.
award-winning. Same with the Three Billboards. I loved that movie, but that doesn't seem like something that's going to capture. I don't know how to describe it.
Sometimes the true test is 5 or 10 years after a movie wins an Academy Award, and you go back and you go, did The English Patient really win the best movie of the year? You know, sometimes it takes a couple of years to think about it and go, what were we thinking that year? You know?
Yeah, that's how. And Get Out, plus, here's another thing. I got an alert that came over on my phone to say that he was the first ever, is it African-American to win a best screenplay or something? Something
that's very possible.
Something came over, and it's like, wait, they hadn't announced it yet.
That was something. Slight delay, maybe. Was it 7 seconds before they announced it?
No, it was quite some time.
Oh. Maybe nominated?
Oh,
it's
maybe.
Possible he was the first African-American nominated for it, possibly.
Did you watch any of the pre-show jitters hosted by Ryan Seacrest? Talk to him?
I didn't get to see it. From what I've read this morning, most of your A-listers avoided him, which they thought might happen. I guess they pre-recorded a bunch of interviews, you know, and then ran them a few minutes later just to make sure nobody said anything disparaging. And I guess there was a couple of remarks. Let me see if I can find it. A couple of people said things that made people wonder if these were inside digs at him.
Oh.
But I didn't see it myself, so I don't know for sure. Speaking of first-time stuff, there's an actor that was nominated for Best Actor, Timothy Chalamet. He got nominated for Call Me By Your Name, but he was also in Lady Bird. He was really good in Lady
Bird. I loved Lady Bird.
But I kept thinking with him, he was sitting there and he seemed to be having a really great time. It was him and his mom, which is cool.
Are you making fun of that? Why do
no,
you
I'm not
make
making
fun
of that
me
at all.
When I do stuff with my kids?
Because it's funny to me. I wasn't making fun of him at all. But I kept thinking, if you're him, he's probably not going to win. There was a chance he was going to win, but the odds were against it. But are you thinking to yourself, I got to just enjoy this moment for what it is, because I'm a young guy who just had a great year, two big movies, so let's just enjoy the moment and not even think about winning. You know, it's way, way, way in the back of your head. But when you're that young and you're looking at the names you're up against, and it's guys like Gary Oldman and Christopher Plummer.
He knew he wasn't going to win, but it was an opportunity of a lifetime. Plus, right. It's pretty cool to go to the Academy Awards. He wasn't thinking about it at all. Thank God you weren't a kid actor. You would have, like, declined to come because you're like, there's no way I'm going to win, so I'm not going to come.
I would have been there. I wouldn't have been. I'm not good enough to have ever been nominated for anything. Magic Door was never up for any award.
I was just going to say, you should have been. I have no, all of a sudden, I have no desire to see the Sigmund and the Sea Monster movie.
The Shape of Water?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it just looks too bizarre to me. Just seeing the clips, it's like it looks so stupid to me.
No, it's really pretty good. It really is. I loved it.
Did you laugh every time you saw the creature?
No. It's not a comedy.
I know, but every time I saw it.
Hey, don't kiss that fish guy.
She
fell in love with a fish guy.
There was some. He's not called a fish guy.
Yeah, they call him fish guy in the movie.
Fish guy. But they were showing.
Mrs. Paul is his mother. And Gorton's a Gloucester is his father.
Yeah.
I should have. That's how it ends. I should have told people in advance. I'm sorry.
Spoiler alert.
I ruined the end, but you find out his mom is Mrs. Paul and his dad's the Gorton of Gloucester fisherman.
You crack yourself up, don't you? That's pretty good. I'll give you that one. Good work
on
that, Bill.
You should see it. It's really interesting.
There was a scene. There was a guy that was up for an award, an older gentleman. I don't know who it was who was up for an award. And the scene they showed was him talking to the fish guy.
Yeah.
And something about, your beautiful eyes or something. And I'm looking at it going, this is fake. This is a fish guy. I will giggle through the whole thing.
No, when you buy your ticket, the person who sells you your ticket goes, now you must suspend your belief because women and fish guys don't usually fall in love. So go in with an open mind.
You are the one that can never suspend your belief ever in a movie.
Unless it's fish guys. If it's fish guys, I totally suspend my belief. And the scene where they chase him with tartar sauce, Wendy, you can't believe how moving it is.
You had your funny Wheaties today, didn't you?
Yes.
Was Don Rickles on the box?
Yeah, Don Rickles was on the box. John Hanson is in next. He's got the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll talk to him. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.